Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining, and welcome to another edition of MedAir's Aviation Security Podcast. My name is Ryan Brockhouse, and I'm the Aviation and Maritime Security Supervisor based in our Phoenix, Arizona office. Today, I'm here with Melissa Pangilinan, who's one of our Aviation and Maritime Security Specialists based in Dubai. Melissa, thank you for joining.
Hi, everyone, and thanks again for having me, Ryan.
Great. Now, this month, we'll be focusing on the recent escalations in Asia. The MedAir security team closely monitored the cross-border conflict between India and Pakistan back in May, as well as the more recent Thailand and Cambodia clashes back in the end of July. So to break down what these mean for aviation, I'll turn it over to you, Melissa, to explain a little bit further.
Sure, Ryan. So both of these escalations highlight how quickly regional disputes can spill over into aviation. I'll walk through the drivers behind these conflicts and then the implications we saw for operators.
Okay, perfect. Now let's start with India and Pakistan. As we know, on the 6th of May of 2025, India launched Operation Sindoor, which was a series of airstrikes in northern Pakistan, reportedly targeting militant infrastructure. Now, this triggered a series of retaliatory strikes in the following days, leading to airspace restrictions and evacuations at several airports. Now, before we dive into the aviation-specific impacts, can you give us some background? Why did this actually happen?
Right. So the tensions really spiked after the terrorist attack on April 22nd in Jammu and Kashmir, which was claimed by the Resistance Front. The Resistance Front is an offshoot of the Pakistan-based group Lashkar-e-Taiba. In the aftermath, both India and Pakistan downgraded diplomatic ties and shut their airspaces to each other, with India accusing Pakistan of backing cross-border terrorism. Already fragile relations broke down even further, setting the stage for the May escalation.
So was this escalation out of the blue or was it expected?
It's really not unexpected. Historically, violence in Kashmir has often spilled over into aviation. In both 2016 and 2019, for example, Pakistan imposed temporary airspace restrictions during periods of heightened tensions with India. In fact, MedAir issued an aviation security alert on April 24, less than a week before the escalation, highlighting the potential for disruption based on these precedents. That early warning gave operators time to prepare for possible impacts.
Yeah, and I do remember that alert that was published by our team, which was great. Now, this escalation has been referred to as one of the biggest air battles in the modern era. What are the main takeaways from that?
Yeah, definitely. So from a security perspective, it was a very interesting escalation to watch unfold. Operation Sindoor stood out for its intensity. It was a limited but highly concentrated strike. About 125 Indian aircraft reportedly hit 9 targets in just 23 minutes, showcasing efficiency and coordination. What followed was an hour-long air battle that reflected the new era of beyond visual range warfare, or BVR. Engagements happened at long distances using advanced radar and missile systems, with neither side's aircraft actually crossing into each other's airspace. Pakistan claimed it downed 6 Indian jets with long-range PL-15 missiles. Although India never confirmed this, open source imagery does suggest some Rafale fighters may have been hit. And more recently, on August 9, India claimed its S-400 missile defense system shut down 6 Pakistani aircraft. But similarly, this is something Pakistan strongly denies.
Yes, that's interesting. And I do remember a Pakistani general. In fact, one of the major Pakistani generals in their air force gave a pretty interesting debriefing to the Pakistani and other international press shortly after this engagement, which ended up piquing the interest of a lot of aviation enthusiasts around the world. So for people who have some extra time, by all means, go on YouTube or go on social media and try and search this Pakistan general's debrief on what exactly transpired. Again, there may or may not be some embellishment involved, but it no doubt received a lot of interest in the aviation sphere worldwide. I, of course, watched it and was pretty captivated by it. Nevertheless, the clashes, they weren't necessarily confined to manned aircraft as well. So I understand both sides also used electronic warfare systems, correct?
Yeah, yes, you're right, and you're correct about that. So electronic warfare was another key element. We saw this just a few days after the massacre in Pahalgam. Local news reported that India started deploying GPS jammers along its borders. And then on the other hand, Pakistan reportedly jammed Indian sensors and communications, which reduced the situational awareness of Rafale pilots. Then in the days that followed, both sides ramped up the use of drones. India claimed to have intercepted several with its UAS systems, while accusations of drone incursions flew in both directions. And then finally, the escalation wasn't just limited to Kashmir. One would think it will be concentrated in the northern parts, but then we recorded incidents further south from Islamabad down to Karachi in Pakistan and near Bhuj in southern India. So this highlights the wider geographic scope of the conflict.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, what about the overall impact on aviation?
Yes, so the impact on aviation was significant. Waypoints along the eastern side of Pakistan's airspace and the western side of India's were closed, creating routing challenges even though major hubs like Delhi remained open. In Pakistan, international airports like Islamabad, Lahore, Sialkot, and Karachi, they experienced interruptions, while in India, more than 30 airports were shut down for several days. These restrictions came abruptly, forcing some flights to divert mid-route. And then you would expect that GPS signals are degraded due to electronic warfare, and air defenses are also on high alert. So during this period, we even received inquiries about using the Afghanistan airspace, which highlights just how operators were actively seeking alternatives to avoid Pakistan's airspace altogether. It just also showed how volatile regional airspaces can be, especially in the light of recent disruptions from the Iran-Israel escalation. So to mitigate these risks during this period, MedAir advised operators to defer all operations and overflights within 100 nautical miles of the border. This covers the eastern side of Pakistan and the western side of India.
Okay, great. Now, obviously, there was the ceasefire that was announced by both parties on the 11th of May. But where do things stand now, and what can we expect next?
Yes, so eventually we withdrew our advice. So we would defer those the operations on those areas, and then operations have largely returned to normal, and airspace restrictions have been lifted. But there is an underlying tensions between India and Pakistan, and it still remains high, because we just saw just on August 8th, Pakistan claimed to have shut down an Indian drone near Lahore. And then also recently, Pakistan announced the establishment of the Army Rocket Force. It is a brand new branch dedicated to conventional rockets and missiles. So this just came a few months after the escalation, and it is separate from its nuclear command. This force is meant to showcase Pakistan's sharpened military edge and reinforce its deterrence message. So this means both countries are still vigilant. Future military escalations cannot be ruled out. That's why aviation operators can continue flights to both countries, but they should be prepared for short notice airspace disruptions, and operators should also maintain strong situational awareness in during periods of heightened regional tensions, as even limited incidents could trigger rapid operational changes.
Yeah, that's interesting, Melissa. That really highlights how volatile the region can be, especially between the two countries, even when things appear to be back to normal, more or less. For operators, it's a reminder that situational awareness and contingency planning aren't just the best practices, they are essential. So now moving on to Cambodia and Thailand, this was a new development in what we would consider to be a relatively peaceful region where airspace restrictions linked to security events are unusual. On the 24th of July, Cambodian troops had opened fire near the contested Tam Win Tom temple site following a landmine incident on the Thai side a day earlier. So this triggered clashes along the border, including artillery shelling, troop deployments, and reported Thai airstrikes. Both sides escalated quickly, with Cambodia reportedly deployed BM-21 Grad rocket systems and tanks, while Thailand used American-made F-16 fighter jets supported by missiles and artillery fire. But Melissa, can you walk us through kind of a quick background?
Sure, Ryan. So the Cambodia-Thailand border has been disputed for decades, particularly around temple sites. Tensions flared in 2008 when Cambodia sought UNESCO recognition for the Preah Vihear Temple. That led to several clashes between 2008 and 2011, with the International Court of Justice eventually awarding Preah Vihear to Cambodia in 2013. However, disputed areas like the Temple of Tam Win Tom, as you have mentioned, were left unresolved, which is why tensions still erupt today.
Okay. Now, what was the aviation impact of that latest clash?
So the overflights near the border faced elevated risk of military and misidentification, GPS interference, and unannounced military activity. On 25 of July, Cambodian authorities issued a NOTAM establishing danger zones along the border and restricting certain flight routes at different flight levels. Then later, it was replaced by a new NOTAM, expanding the danger zone from ground level to unlimited altitude. Diversion routes were recommended for aircraft operating near the frontier. And as of the date of recording of this podcast, these restrictions remain in place until at least October 24.
Yeah, and that's important to note, Melissa. Thanks. It's, that this restriction is still in place to this day. Thank you again. This has been an insightful discussion on what I would consider to be two significant escalations in Asia over the last few months, and the impact they've had on civil aviation operations.
Yes, of course, Ryan. Very happy to be here.
Wonderful. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this edition of MedAir's Aviation Security Podcast. Stay tuned for more updates as we continue to monitor global security events and their implications for aviation operators. And of course, stay safe, and we will see you next month with the next podcast.